Time to open up your favorite news app and talk about the top news stories of the day with our political expert, Dr. Mark Caleb Smith. Mark serves as Associate Professor of Political Science and the Director of the Center for Political Studies at Cedarville University and joins us every month helping us parse the news from a Christian perspective. And good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Good. Wow. Yeah, thanks for joining us. Appreciate that. So I'm sure people most likely have been hearing on almost every news outlet, wherever that might be, about former President Donald Trump and what's going on right now in his life and politically and everything else. Can you unpack it a little bit for us and let us know kind of what's going on?
Yeah, it is a long tale. I'll unpack it just a little. It appears that the former president could very well be indicted for a crime this week. He released on social media over the weekend that he had information that an indictment was imminent. This indictment would come out of the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, and we haven't seen the indictment. We do know that a grand jury has been impaneled and has been investigating the former president for a while. We also know that some of his associates, like Michael Cohen and his former chief financial officer, have been prosecuted and have suffered some pretty significant penalties through this investigation. And so President Trump says an indictment's going to happen. Now, we don't know exactly what it will be about, but we suspect it has to do with his decision to pay women for their silence in 2016.
So, Mark, walk us through what a grand jury is and isn't.
Yeah, so most of us, when we think of the word jury, we think of that courtroom, that group of people, of course, who sit there and determine whether someone is guilty of a crime or whether they're, whether the states prove their burden. A grand jury is different. So it's not 12 people. It's sometimes between 16, 23, or 24 people. It's private. And they are there for to indict people for crimes. And so prosecutors bring evidence to a grand jury. Often witnesses will testify in front of a grand jury. And then eventually the prosecutors will bring an indictment and tell the grand jury, this is what we'd like to charge this person with for a crime. And the grand jury will decide whether or not there's sufficient evidence to charge. And so this is an indictment, not a guilty verdict or anything like that. And it would basically be a notification to President Trump that he has now been formally charged with a crime and that he can expect a process to take place. He could surrender himself once he's been indicted and go and be booked and go through the process, or he can basically choose to stay where he is and eventually get arrested.
So this also now leads me, Mark, to talk about the political scene. Because, I mean, you know, we're starting to look now towards who's going to be running for president. And obviously, former President Trump has stated he is interested in that. But this could change the whole outlook now. And so let's unpack that a little bit from a perspective of what does this do now to that political scene?
Yeah, and I think we have to be very careful with the politics of this.
Yes.
Because President Trump, no matter what anyone's opinion of President Trump, a former president of the United States who's also a declared candidate to run for the presidency, and the Manhattan District Attorney is a Democrat. The party in the White House, in charge of the White House, is Democratic. And there's a perception that this could be an abuse of power by the District Attorney in order to benefit the Democratic Party and to damage President Trump. I think in some ways there's perhaps some evidence of that. This is the kinds of things that we're talking about the president is potentially being accused of doing, at least to my knowledge, are rarely prosecuted. And if they are prosecuted, there may be a fine involved and not necessarily an arrest or this kind of a process in place. And so there certainly is a political context to this. But, you know, I think as believers and as citizens, if people are engaging in criminal behavior, there should be consequences for that, whether you're the former president of the United States or not. At the same time, we don't want to have parties basically just dragging rival politicians into court in order to damage them politically. And so there's a balance there that we have to strike between equality under the law on the one hand and then not letting partisanship run over the justice system on the other.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
What does this mean for our country if we start going down that road, Mark?
Yeah. It's potentially very dangerous. This is more of what we would expect to see out of a third world country or out of an unstable governmental system where politicians just use the power of the state to punish their enemies.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily what's happening here. We have not seen the indictment. We don't know for sure how strong the evidence is against President Trump, but it is a potentially a very dangerous precedent. The closest that we've had to this historically would be Richard Nixon. After President Nixon resigned from office, there was still a possibility he could be indicted and prosecuted and tried in federal court for some of his actions during the Watergate scandal. President Ford, of course, who became president upon Nixon's resignation, decided to issue a full pardon to Nixon mm-hmm. so that would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Ford was thinking. You know, we just don't really want to set a precedent here where presidents are routinely coming into the judicial system and being prosecuted for things that they did while they're in office.
Yeah.
I think it's potentially very damaging. But I think the best course of action is for us to be patient, you know, wait to see what this mm-hmm. indictment looks like, see what the evidence is against President Trump potentially, and then maybe we'll know enough to decide whether this is a reckless abuse of power or whether this is just an example of him violating the law and getting some justice as a result.
Yeah. Dr. Mark Caleb Smith from Cedarville University. I also see, Mark, this could be an opportunity as believers to really be a witness to those that are, because, I mean, this is such a divisive thing in our country right now. And there's so many people that, you know, are just, I mean, spewing hateful words and attitudes. And, I mean, this could, I mean, potentially be an opportunity to really, I mean, just, I guess, send peace to people as we talk with them. And is that an accurate statement? How can we do that?
Yeah, I think your impulse is exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very combustible situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an opportunity to add to that, you know, to continue to throw gasoline onto that fire.
Sure.
Or we can try to detract from it and be a little bit more a voice of reason, a voice of calm. This is true not only in personal conversations we may have with people who have different points of view on this issue, this would also be true on social media.
Mm-hmm.
As you expect, social media is absolutely inflamed over this, and there are very strong opinions being articulated on both sides. And again, I think just to be a good example, you know, we should be patient and we should pray for justice, whatever that justice looks like. And we have to be aware, I think, as believers, that sometimes that justice may cut against our preferences, and that doesn't make it unjust. And so we have to let the process play out and hope that it's a good, decent process that occurs, and then deal with it. But I agree with you. I think we have opportunities to be to slow this thing down a little bit and to be a voice of reason. But we all know, especially you and your careers, you know that voice of reason isn't always very marketable, and it isn't always doesn't get a lot of attention.
Not very popular sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that, Mark. So as we look ahead to the presidential election, which is next year, there's a lot of people jumping into the presidential candidacy group, you know. What are some guiding principles that really can help us determine who to support as we move forward here into election season?
Well, I think we should keep an open mind. I know that we all have favorites and we all have wishes and dreams sometimes about who may run for president and who might be successful or not. But I think we should keep an open mind as the process plays out. I think as much information as we can gather is going to be better. And sometimes that just means waiting and listening and watching and reading and absorbing before we start to make decisions. What I really counsel people when they go through this process of choosing candidates is don't fall in love with any of them. You know, these are not romantic partners. They're not best friends. They're not the kinds of people that you're building a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
They're people that you're hiring to do a job, and you should hire them based on their qualifications and based on what they bring to the to the position.
Amen.
But, you know, to really stay away from a strong emotional attachment, because I think then we start to lose our objectivity and we start to lose our ability to think critically about people and decisions that they make. Now, again, I know that's hard because the candidates can be very charismatic.
Yes.
Can really be appealing. But I think it's in our best interest to stay away from that as much as we can.
Yeah.
And just try to evaluate them as objectively as possible.
Yeah.
No one's perfect. No candidate's perfect. And at the end of it, we've got to make often very difficult decisions between flawed choices.
Yeah. I love that mental picture of hiring them to do a job. I love that. Never really thought of that way before, I guess, in that perspective, because what do we do when we're hiring somebody? Well, we have a list of questions that we want to ask them about their character, about their work in the past, about what their goals are, things like that. Those are all questions we should write down and really look through the candidates. And I love that. That's good information, Mark. Appreciate that so much. That is Dr. Mark Caleb Smith. He is with Cedarville University and a regular guest with us here on the show. And blessings to you, Mark. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us.
Blessings to you. It's always a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, sounds good.